Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. On Monday, we read an email from a man named Joseph, who had just come out of the Mormon Church and was wondering where he should go to fellowship with other like-minded people. And that's a great question, because a lot of Latter-day Saints are coming out of the Mormon Church, and many of them do not know where to turn. Wouldn't you say because the well of the Christian churches has been pretty much poisoned in Mormonism? When you hold to a belief that all the churches are wrong, that their creeds are an abomination and their professors are all corrupt, and that is an official position of the Mormon Church, you can understand why it would be difficult for a person coming out of the Mormon Church to even want to give a Christian church an opportunity to prove itself to them.
Well, and especially since the pastors whose churches they're going to go to now are paid. And in their minds, especially if they went to the temple ceremony before 1990, that's a hireling of Satan himself.
Now, that's not one of the bullet points we were originally going to discuss, but that is something that might concern some Latter-day Saints. Is it really wrong to have a paid ministry? We would say absolutely not. You have 1 Corinthians 9 certainly supports a paid ministry. You have the entire Old Testament that had a paid ministry. One thing I don't think a lot of Mormons ever even think about: how were the priests supported? When they went into the Promised Land, those that were the sons of Aaron, the tribe of Levi, were not allowed a land inheritance. So how would they survive? They survived off of the offerings and the giving of the people of whom they ministered. I don't think a lot of times Mormons even think about that.
Well, and the Bible does talk about a workman being worthy of his hire. That's in the Old and New Testament with Paul, as you referred to in 1 Corinthians. But has the Latter-day Saint ever wondered how many of his leaders are able to do what they do without receiving some type of remuneration?
I would say they probably haven't, and they probably wonder, how do guys, you know, now I know the older ones like Thomas Monson, certainly they're of retirement age. They probably have pensions that they could easily live on, but I would be very doubtful that that's all they're getting. And I wish, if the Mormon Church wants to prove me wrong, let them supply the paperwork and the numbers which prove what Thomas Monson's bottom line really was for the last year.
And the idea that the bishop, who is a local leader of a ward, is not getting paid. He's having to work a full-time job, sometimes 60 or 70 hours a week, taking care of his kids, his wife, and doing all of that. It's almost a travesty that the Mormon Church forces that on men who are in their prime to probably burn out. Yes, they only serve for 5 years, whatever that term is. What a terrible time for trying to juggle everything and to have those kinds of responsibilities. And Doctrine and Covenants, two different places, says that they ought to be paid.
It does. That was free, folks.
That's what we call a tangent.
Yeah, we're going off on a rant here, but we're looking at some bullet points that we have put together that may help you if you're looking for a place to fellowship. And again, we want to stress that this is not an exhaustive list, and maybe to some it may be a little bit too long, but it's just to give you an idea of some things to look for, things that Eric would look for, things that I would look for if we were looking for a church. And one of the bullet points that we have has to do with how the pastor explains what the text actually means to the congregation.
Does the pastor do his best to explain what the authors of the biblical text meant to convey to the reader?
And this is what we call an author text-centered approach. In a class that I've been taking, we actually talked about this, and one of the bullet points that was in the handout was the first question in interpretation is, what was the author saying to the people to whom he was writing? We want to know what the Bible has to say, sure, but we want to know what the author meant to convey to the reader.
And this is completely opposite of the postmodern idea that it doesn't matter what the author intended, it's what you interpret it to be. This is so much of our thought, not only in spiritual realm, but just in the secular realm.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, when they started saying, for instance, that our American Constitution was a living constitution, well, that opened the door to all sorts of interpretations that the authors themselves would have never meant. A lot of the issues that we are hearing now on the news, there is no way that our founding fathers would have ever supported that, because that is not what they meant when they were conveying the words in the Constitution for us to read today. They had meaning behind those words, just as Paul had meaning behind the words when he wrote to the church in Corinth or the Philippian church. What he was saying had a particular meaning.
You're exactly right on that. And so what we end up doing is we read into the Bible. And some churches have done this, Bill, with homosexuality and made homosexuality into something that's okay. Because listen, they say, we're in the 21st century. Things have changed. Well, you can't do that with what the Bible intended versus what you want it to be.
What that implies, if you're going to try and justify that as a Christian, is that somehow God has changed. And he makes it very clear he does not change. So certainly some of the things that we believe as Christians might seem a little out of date or archaic to non-believers, but still we have to trust in the fact that our God, who is omniscient and knows all things, certainly sees beyond what puny mankind sees. And I have found historically that when man moves away from the God-honored teachings, it more often than not brings some serious consequences to God's creation. It's not a benefit. So keep that in mind. If you're a professing Christian, you have an obligation to stick to what the word actually teaches and what the author meant by those words.
And if this whole session we're talking about what to look for in a church, if a church is emphasizing social issues that don't coincide with what the Bible says, run away as fast as you can.
Okay, one of the bullet points that we have here is, does the pastor emphasize critical teachings or doctrines from the Bible that explain what Christians should and should not believe? I think one of the stereotypes, and sometimes it may not be a stereotype, but one of the things that many Mormons, I think, believe regarding us as Christians, that somehow there's this big, huge spiritual free-for-all out there, that you can just believe whatever you want and that's fine. Now, I will say when it comes to a lot of the secondary issues, there is some latitude for differences of opinion, but when it comes to the primary issues, the main doctrines of the faith, there is no latitude and there is no room to compromise. Unfortunately, when it comes to the Mormon Church, they have been outside of the parameters on those primary issues ever since its inception, and that's why the Mormon Church has never been considered to be a part of the Christian fold. They have denied or distorted all those basic teachings that make Christians what they are. So, yes, doctrine should be important in the church that you attend.
I was looking at websites of different churches in the Utah area. There's one church in the Salt Lake City area that advertises itself as the inclusive church, and the idea that doctrine doesn't matter as long as we all get along is kind of the theme. And when you say the word inclusive, that basically means that you believe everybody is going to go to the same place as long as you're a good person. So there is a missing of the gospel message itself.
And so I would challenge anybody, any pastor or any professing Christian who holds to a position like that, is that really what the Apostle Paul believed? Is that really what Jesus believed? Because I don't see anywhere in the Gospels or the Epistles that justify that kind of thinking without taking verses out of their context, which of course is what they do.
Absolutely. You cannot sanitize the gospel message to make it more politically correct. It's impossible to do that.
The next point I think is important, and you have heard us emphasize this probably numerous times if you're a faithful listener to this broadcast, but does the preaching emphasize the difference between what justifies a believer and what sanctifies a believer?
What do you mean by that, Bill?
Well, it's important because if it does not distinguish between those two, it opens itself up to legalism. and giving the impression that you have to do things a certain way in order to meet God's approval. Now, certainly there are very explicit details in the New Testament that talk about behavior of Christians. But then there's some other areas that become a little bit gray. Like, is it wrong to wear an open-toed shoe? Is it wrong to wear a certain type of clothing? Is it wrong to have a certain type of haircut? Now, that might sound silly to many people today, but that is a big issue among some professing Christians. If you're in a church that makes a big deal out of that, that, for me, would be a red flag. I would be concerned about that.
So we would call those legalistic churches that basically take their perceived standards and make a judgment on everybody. You have to do it this certain way, or you're not one of us.
If you want a good example of that, just drive by a Mormon church on Sunday. Look at them. They're all wearing the white shirts. They all have the dark suits. The ladies all seem to dress about the same. I mean, there is a classic example of legalism on steroids. Christ gave us freedom in our faith. That is not something that should be imposed on the believers.
Let's make sure we've distinguished between justification and sanctification. Justification is...
We are declared righteous in the eyes of God because of our faith in what Jesus did on our behalf on the cross at Calvary.
It's only through faith that we receive justification. It's not of our works, lest any man should boast, Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2. And then sanctification is those things that we do as a result of the justification. I want to bring up, and we only have a few seconds, but I want to just bring up baptism. Baptism is very, very important when it concerns sanctification, but it's not part of justification. Any church that says you have to be baptized in order to receive God's free gift of grace is not a church you ought to be going to.
Because we are justified or made right by faith, baptism is something that you do. Like any other work, it's something that you must do. And like you said, certainly baptism and what it stands for is very important, and I would strongly encourage any believer who has not been baptized in water to certainly do that. But that is not what justifies you in the eyes of God. And if a church does not make that distinction, then that would also be a red flag for me. Tomorrow, we're going to talk about some more of these things to look for in finding a church.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. You just listened to today's broadcast of Viewpoint on Mormonism. But did you know that you can hear previous shows at your convenience? The Viewpoint on Mormonism podcast is free on the internet and will help you learn more about the LDS religion. Feel free to listen on your computer or download to your favorite listening device. Just go to mrm.org and click on the right side where it says On Air. All of our shows are here, so visit mrm.org today. If the LDS Church is not true, which church is? Didn't the Bible predict the apostasy of the Christian faith? These and 34 other questions often posed by Latter-day Saints are addressed in Kriegel Publishers' new book, Answering Mormons' Questions, written by MRM's Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson. Included is a glossary of Mormon terms and questions for group discussions. This is a great resource for those who want to share their Christian faith. Answering Mormons' Questions is available at the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore or at mrm.org.